Our reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Enlighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from the relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of God will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply, "Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your fingers and spread vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." Some of you will rebuild the desert, the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Mumble, mumble. Well, as you heard at the beginning, this is a mission ministry weekend. It's something we started last year. It's an opportunity at all the weekend services to help lift up and celebrate the many ways that Glenmar serves the world. You know, that third part of our mission statement. We have such a breadth of ministries, it really becomes hard to just know about all the things that Glenmar is doing. That's why it's important to have this particular weekend. My name is D.C. Veal, and I am the Minister of Missions Coordination here at Glenmar, which in and of itself is a great joy on a daily basis, but never more so when I have the opportunity to help people understand the great ways that God is working through the people of Glenmar. I probably have become known as the mission trip guy over the last 20 years or so, and with just cause, but mission ministries are far broader than just the mission trips. So I want to help you all understand the great ways that Glenmar reaches out to serve the world through ministries that take place on a daily basis. Some of those include Help End Homelessness Howard County. This is an organization that Glenmar is a partner with. It addresses homelessness in our county one family at a time. We've helped purchase two condos which are being rented to formerly homeless families at below market value, and we're now working at acquiring a third property. PATH is an ecumenical association that focuses on issues of importance to Howard County families. The focus this year is on education and health, immigration, and transit and jobs. The Route 1 Day Center. Glenmar was instrumental in working with Grassroots to open this center 9 years ago, and they've just recently, within the last month or so, moved into a brand new facility. Glenmar helps prepare and serve a meal there once a month. The Salvation Army Thrift Shop is open 10 days a month, and Glenmar provides regular volunteers and financial and material contributions. And Habitat for Humanity. Glenmar volunteers monthly working at Habitat in Baltimore. We've helped complete over a dozen homes over the years. We've worked on many more. And in addition, we've donated at least $160,000 towards home construction with Habitat. Here now, you're going to hear from T.J. Sprankel about his experience of working with Habitat.
Hi, I'm T.J. Sprankel, a member of Glenmar for about 2 years now. When I was first looking for a church, I was hoping for a place where I could give back to the community without dedicating a bulk of time like I had done in my previous church. In March of 2016, I decided to try Habitat for Humanity, or H4H as I call it. Having never done anything like this before, I was unsure about what to expect. But the first day I realized I was not only in my element, I was called to serve others through this ministry. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature." It's God's will for us to serve in ministry. You know how our mission is praising God, growing disciples, and serving the world? Well, H4H's mission is similar, seeking to put God's love into action Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. In addition to demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ, one of H4H's principles is also to support sustainable and transformative development. That's what they have done for me, and I have witnessed transformation through others as well. I translate sustainable development as long-term growth. While I have been undertaking do-it-yourself projects most of my life, H4H teaches me new things every time I serve. It's also amazing how many times I need to do a particular home project, and H4H has the same one the week before, such as hanging a ceiling or landscaping. This enables me to learn from my experienced church members and H4H team prior to performing the same task at home. Transformative development could cover a wide range of conversion. We could change a community, a building, or a neighborhood. We can even transform our own homes. As I have been participating in our second Saturday of the month Habitat time slot, members of my own family have seen the benefits and have also signed up. My daughter worked with us for the first time just this month. My wife served with us at the Restore in Columbia. If you've never been there, it is truly amazing. H4H Restores are nonprofit home improvement stores that resell donated building materials, furniture, and appliances, similar to Home Depot, but at discount prices. 100% of the profits, again, 100% of the profits are invested right back in H4H. The contributions help to cover the cost of land acquisition, construction, and other operations. Restores also support a healthier planet. By recycling used items, H4H diverts millions of pounds of material from local landfills. I recently painted one of our bedrooms with recycled paint from there. Didn't turn out too bad, did it? In addition to transformative development covering homes and communities, it could also mean spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental growth. As Pastor Matt preached the last 3 weeks on race, religion, and politics, ironically, these topics are not our focus on building days. We are just unified Christians looking to serve others. That's part of the spiritual growth. Physically, we're doing manual labor from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, getting our physique in check. We provide emotional support to the homeowner, and we all learn together for mental transformation. Driven by the vision that everyone needs a decent place to live, H4H began in 1976 in southern Georgia. The Christian Housing Organization is now working in more than 1,400 communities throughout the U.S. and in more than 70 countries. Habitat homeowners help build their own homes alongside volunteers and pay affordable mortgages. Through financial support, volunteering, donating to Restore, or adding a voice to support affordable housing, everyone can help families achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build better lives for themselves. There is nothing like watching the dedication of a new home. Makes you all warm and fuzzy inside. To learn more, go to habitat.org or contact Adrian Taylor, Don Wecker, or myself, TJ Sprankler. Don didn't know I was going to mention his name on here, but he asked me to do this video. So it's just a little return on investment.
I was going to stand here and flex, but TJ said I actually had to go work with Habitat before I'd see the benefits. So one of the ways that many of us over the years at Glenmar have engaged in mission ministry is maybe through the Wish Upon a Star program. Just this past Christmas in 2016, Glenmar members donated gifts, grocery gift cards, and shoe certificates to support a total number of 149 people from 30 different families, and 99 of those were children. We also made donations to Grassroots, the Board of Child Care, and Fort Meade, and all together, Glenmar donated about $55,000 to help make other people's Christmas brighter. Many ways the youth of our church kind of guide us and lead us in serving others. Over the years, the youth have participated in the 30-hour famine raising over $135,000 to support the work of World Vision. Green Team is a ministry, a fundraising ministry for our youth and adults to do yard work in exchange for earning proceeds that they use to support mission trips. But as a group, they've decided to set aside 10% of their income and have donated over $9,000 to mission projects and other materials for the church here in the past 5 years. They've also collected just this past year over 60 kitchen appliances, which have been sent for the people of Hurley to use. Operation Christmas Child, Glenmar has packed and shipped over 1,600 shoebox gift packages in the last 11 years. And of course, mission trips. Glenmar, in the past 20 years, Glenmar's had 102 different mission trips. We work with 18 different organizations in 16 different states and 7 foreign countries. We've had 3,311 participants in mission. And our next mission trip is just 3 weeks away. And it's not just kids that, you know, grow through their participation in mission trips. Even adults can grow through mission. Here to share his experience of his first mission trip is Rick Wilson.
Good morning. Thank you, DC. I had the pleasure of going to Hurley this year for the first time with my daughter, who was 14 at the time, and I want to share a little bit of reflections from our time together down in Southwest Virginia. I want to start with a reading from Psalm 96, verse 3, which I think captures much of what happened for Monica and myself. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. To me, that's what mission is really all about. And I ask you to consider this passage as you listen to the words of Monica. These are her words. I asked her to join me this morning, but she's playing shy now. She spoke at 9:30, but now she's suddenly shy. So go figure. January, when I first approached her about going to Hurley with me, her words, quote, "You can't make me do this." Denial. Yeah. June 25th, upon seeing the front doors of Hurley High School, for the first time, our home for the week. "I can't do this." Disbelief. June 27th, while helping to install a new roof on Mr. Mike's 16-foot by 12-foot home. Yes, 16 feet by 12 feet. Quote, "I can't believe this." Awareness. And finally, July 2nd, at home after a shower and a good night's sleep. Quote, "When can we do this again?" Appreciation. Everyone told me to be prepared for a transformational week, but words simply can't do justice to the powerful experience mission trips provide us, youth, and, as DC said, adults alike. Notice how Monica's words reflect the vast range of emotions she clearly experienced prior to, during, and following our week together, until she finally has come to publicly declare God's glory. Clearly, there is a special reason that very diverse group of individuals from Glenmar enthusiastically spend so much time, energy, and talents in places like Hurley that are not so diverse, no matter how you define diversity. Weeks like this are so essential to our personal growth and our faith journeys, not just because we are forced out of our comfort zones, but when we allow God to work through us, they influence preconceived notions and even our own personal biases. From my experience and humble perspective, it comes back to something that I am so grateful DC made us constantly aware of throughout our visit: God moments. Unfortunately, our team struggled to find our God moments initially, so after our first day together, we decided to try to be more mindful. If you're not familiar with the term, mindfulness is simply bringing personal awareness to conscious thought. In this day and age, we occasionally get so caught up in our busyness of life, particularly with the connectedness that technology allows, we sometimes forget to stop and think about what we are seeing, hearing, and for our group in particular, saying in any given moment. The concept of mindfulness actually has its roots in some non-Christian Eastern philosophies, so please allow me to highlight just a few of the areas where I believe mindfulness and Christianity blend together so wonderfully, particularly in respect to mission work. Mindfulness embodies the Christian tokens of love and acceptance. Mindfulness allows us to see our own humanity and the bigger picture things that connect us beyond our titles, our outward appearance, even beyond our own personal or family philosophies. Mindfulness allows us to maintain our disagreements. However, with mindfulness, we can agree to disagree while still finding balance and peace in a new and enlightened perspective. For example, Hurley High School has their mascot is Johnny Reb. And you can imagine, with a mascot Johnny Reb, the symbol of the Confederate battle flag is found all throughout the high school where we spent the week. I don't think any of our Hurley participants are quick to judge when we see the Confederate battle flag now. Personally, my family won't be displaying any own vehicles or wearing it, but I know I won't be so quick to make assumptions about someone else who does. Second, mindfulness allows Christians to grow their faith. Mindfulness allows us to connect more deeply to God. For example, when you are mindful in church, you are more in church. As a practitioner of mindfulness, you minimize thinking about what you have to do after the service. Sorry, DC. How bad the Ravens are going to beat the Steelers in a few hours? Right? Who is sitting behind you, what you are wearing, etc. You are more focused on your faith and the importance and value of it. Point three, mindfulness can help us put our faith into action through listening to our bodies. Our bodies are wonderful gifts. They talk to us all the time and tell us when they're out of balance or when certain parts need attention. When we allow our minds to connect with our breathing, our physicality, we allow ourselves to truly see and hear what our bodies are trying to tell us. This allows Christians more clarity and power to help nurture the container of the soul. It also provides more strength to literally help us embody our faith so we see the good and God's grace in every situation. I am confident that mindfulness was a driving force behind the mission described in the following story. In 1865, an itinerant preacher who had been walking the streets of London for more than a decade held a series of meetings in a tent set up in a London churchyard. That was the beginning of a movement that would spread rapidly, first throughout the British Isles and on to the U.S., France, India, South Africa, Argentina, Zimbabwe, and some two dozen other nations, all by the end of the 19th century. Today, the Salvation Army is one of the largest and most widely respected charitable organizations in the world. What has been the key to its enormous and long-lasting success? The answer can be found in a single word expressed by its founder, General William Booth, more than a century ago. One year, with his troops spread around the world, he wanted to send them a Christmas greeting, encouraging them to continue to serve a hurting world. At that time, the only means of rapid communication was via telegram, an expensive process with fees based on the number of words used. The general was a practical and frugal man and found a single word to convey his message, a single word that spoke volumes. His telegram simply read, "Others." However we define it, becoming successful is rarely, if ever, an individual achievement. As George Matthew Adams, an American author and columnist of a century ago, reminds us, there is no such thing as a self-made man. We are made up of thousands of others, everyone who has ever done a kind deed for us, spoken one word of encouragement to us, has entered into the makeup of our character and of our thoughts, as well as our success. I know that future mission trips using DC's focus of relationship ministry, with a bit of construction on the side, will continue to open eyes, minds, and hearts of participants, just as our trip did for Monica and me. Being consciously mindful of what we experience and how we respond to it can help all of us more clearly feel the joy and see the unlimited possibilities that come with new perspectives so we can better reflect God's unconditional love and grace for each of us. I kindly ask you to join me in the prayer originally shared by General William Booth over 150 years ago. Please read with me. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me live for others that I may live like thee.
Well, some of the ways that Glenmar lives for others is by supporting the work of Bridges to Housing Stability. If you are a longtime member of the congregation, you might remember it originally as Churches Concerned for the Homeless. We still support their work today. We participate annually in the Hotter Than Thou Chili Cook-Off. We contribute towards their annual budget. The Cold Weather Shelter. Glenmar was the founding congregation to get the Cold Weather Shelter going in this county. We've hosted guests for 14 straight years. We work with a sister church, Ames Memorial United Methodist Church, up in Sandtown in Baltimore. We assist them with their ongoing ministries, including food giveaways, clothing giveaways. We collect back-to-school supplies. We assist with their ongoing maintenance and repairs. We work with the Board of Child Care, which is the Baltimore-Washington Conference Ministry for At-Risk Youth. We provide donations and volunteers for some of their many ministries. And we work at an organization called Little Flowers in Baltimore, where they host our college and career prep ministry. We work with children and youth to help them reach their full potential. And we got to work with several of those ministries at our brand new mission experience this summer, the Baltimore Mission Camp. And here to talk about her experience with that is Ellen Burns.
How on earth did I get here? From comfortably sitting in those nice soft seats to nervously standing here holding a microphone, not a place I ever aspired to be. But several years ago, I had the great good fortune to be able to retire at a fairly young age. So one Sunday, shortly after my retirement, as I sat in those nice comfy seats, I was sitting there during prayer time and I was asking God, what should I do with this time? And I felt God saying to me, Ellen, this time is really a gift. And I sat there thinking about that and I said, yes, it really is, and I'm really grateful for it. So what would you like me to do? And I felt God say to me, you could be my hands and feet in this world. And I said, okay, I can do that. So I looked around Howard County for a volunteer organization that needed my help. And I just randomly selected one. And being a CPA, I offered to help with any financial services they might need. And long story short, that didn't really work out so well. Before I even started, someone else volunteered who they felt was more what they were looking for than I was. So they said, yeah, we don't really need your help after all. Okay, maybe that's not what God had in mind. So I bided my time, and I turned my attention to helping here during the cold weather shelter. And I decided to go on some mission trips. I went on two mission trips to Crisfield, and this past spring I went to West Virginia. These are great mission trips with adults and college-age youth. We generally worked on flood-damaged homes that need help very badly. And I have to say, as much as I try, construction just is not my thing. My husband will tell you, I hardly know one end of the hammer from the other. So I generally just try to be as helpful as possible to the people who do know what they're doing. I've certainly accomplished some things. Like, I was able to rip off some siding and take a bunch of nails and staples out of ceilings, but not anything you could call significant, like rebuilding a porch. Then I heard about the Baltimore mission trip. Now, here was something I could relate to. I could hear my dear departed grandmother, and you'll have to forgive me here because she was of German descent, but I could hear her saying, "Ach! Why do you need to go so far away to help people when there are people down the street who need your help just as bad?" So Baltimore was the place. Not to mention that there had been the Freddie Gray riots. And I really wanted to better understand all that was driving these people to riot. And let's face facts, for a variety of reasons, very few of us in this room can really relate to the conditions that are causing the Freddie Gray riots. So the Baltimore mission trip, which would be spending a good amount of time around Ground Zero over the Freddie Gray riots, sounded like a perfect opportunity to start. We started with training. Ugh. But two very worthwhile concepts from training came to me over and over again during the mission trips. One is, whose needs are being met here? This is something you really need to remember when what you're going to do isn't what when you think what you're going to do isn't what they need you to do. For example, we got to the ReStore in Sandtown, and they asked us to dust the shelves. Dust? I don't even like to dust my own house. But dust I most certainly did. And the other concept is a DC-ism called Semper Gumby. Always be flexible. It is equally important, if not more important. For example, the first day of our mission trip to Baltimore, we were to spend the day at Ames United Methodist Church helping in the summer camp for 4 to 10-year-olds. When we got there, we were told that they were leaving in an hour to go swimming, and they didn't need us anymore. Time to be flexible. So we revamped, and we went on to our Thursday afternoon activity, which was a prayer walk of Baltimore instead. We went to Mondawmin Mall, the Target there, to see if it was the same as the Longgate Target. It was, only less crowded. We went to Druid Hill Park, or Drudel Park for those Baltimore natives. And we learned the history of segregation there. Did you know they had white tennis courts and a pool and black tennis courts and a pool up until segregation recently? I didn't know that. We went to Patterson Park and learned of the Civil War history and that it was the second oldest public park in the United States. And we ended at Harbor Place, where we were given 5 $1 bills, and in teams of 3, we were instructed to go do intentional acts of kindness. So our team of 3 went to the water stand and bought a bottle of cold water for the police officer on his bicycle because it was hot. We put $2 in the jar for a disadvantaged inner city youth getting their first jobs. And then, strolling Harper Place, we found a homeless man and we gave him the remaining $2. He was hot, tired, and frankly, he hadn't even been panhandling. So he was really surprised that we had given him the money. He asked us where we were from and why we were doing this. And he told us that he had recently lost a young son due to a hit-and-run accident, which occurred out in Woodstock, Howard County. He was having the inevitable and excruciating time getting over it. And he had a tattoo of Jesus on his arm. And as he talked, he asked us the name of our church and the location so that he could maybe get his uncle to bring him out here to attend sometime. One of the youth in our group was so taken that he pulled out his wallet, took out a $20 bill, and handed it to the homeless man. The homeless man looked at us like he had just gotten the winning lottery ticket. And the youth turned to the rest of us and said, "It would have just been another pizza and beer to me. It meant a whole lot more to him." During the week, we worked with children at Little Flowers Preschool and Ames United Methodist Church, both just 2 or so blocks from the CVS that was burned during the Freddie Gray riots. We went to Meals on Wheels, where they prepare thousands of meals in a gigantic assembly line. I spent hours scooping vegetables, putting plastic trays into an assembly line. We worked at Manna House, a soup kitchen. Not having been in a soup kitchen before, it was fascinating to see the facilities, have the director talk to us about why the people come to the place in life where they need a soup kitchen, and see the range of services that they provide. We went to the Board of Child Care in Randallstown that houses teenagers referred to them from social service agencies, and we went to the ReStore in Sandtown, Winchester, which is affiliated with Habitat for Humanity. They said they were the only store in the area where customers can come in and buy something without paying for it through bulletproof glass. At last, but for me, most definitely not least, we went to the Samaritan Women in Catonsville. I've lived in Ellicott City for the past 45 years, and I've never heard of them. But it seems that 15 years ago, their founder, on faith, bought 2 properties with the intention of doing something for women. She had the houses fixed up and put out feelers within law enforcement. And one day, the FBI called her and said, "We hear that you have a place for rehabbing victims of sex trafficking." So that became their mission. We were simply there to weed around the huge garden that they keep in order to sell flowers and grow food for themselves. As we were resting and the volunteer coordinator was talking to us, she mentioned that they need ongoing volunteers to help with various tasks like driving residents to the doctors. So I told her that I was a retired CPA and I had time to do that. Well, her eyes got really big and she said, "We need you. We need financial services help really badly." So I'm happy to report that I've been going back on a regular schedule to help them with their budgeting issues. It's something that I really enjoy and something that I'm embarrassed to say they're ridiculously grateful for. I hope we can have a mutual collaboration for a good long time. The mission trip to Baltimore has had the kind of impact on my life that I was really hoping for. There's no doubt that there is a ton of work to be done in Baltimore. The need is absolutely staggering. Anyone who goes could easily find the volunteer activity of their choice to ease into if they were so inclined. I can't wait for next year's trip. I think that this activity could become a huge hit for Glenmar, and I've already invited 3 friends to go with me again next year.
I think if we look out here, she has more friends that probably want to go with her next year, too. So you can talk to Ellen about that. Some of the other ministries that probably many of you have supported over the years are Extreme Fundraising Ministry, which includes the sale of the gift cards each week, the collection of box tops and labels and old printer cartridges and cell phones and things. Throughout all of those programs, they've generated over $250,000 to Glenmar, which we have turn towards inner city schools, rural schools, mission trip scholarships, donations to mission trip host organizations, family accounts that help pay for mission trips, and ministry grants for a wide variety of causes, including just this past week, we made a $1,000 donation to UMCOR in support of the hurricane relief. We collect food each quarter in support of local food closets. We've had a Glenmar 5K for the last 5 years, whose proceeds support the Howard County Food Bank, raised $35,000 through that over 5 years. We collect items, groceries and other items for grassroots each week on the lower level. Glenmar provides a meal at the grassroots shelter once a month. Through the golf tournament and silent auction over the last 6 years, Glenmar has raised $188,000 in support of grassroots. In one of our more recent ministry projects, the Day of Service, over the past years, these one-day events have had roughly 1,700 people participate, almost 20 different ministries, including packaging over 83,000 meals to at-risk populations. Undergirding all of these ministries, beyond just the people that participate hands-on, there obviously has to be people that support it and plan it and think about it. And so here to represent the mission board is Brad Boyle.
Morning, everybody. As DC said, my name's Brad Boyle. I've been a member at Glenmar literally for as long as I can remember. I was baptized about 25 years ago in the old building and confirmed there 10 years ago, and nobody's tried to run me out of town, so I'm still here. I've been involved with mission trips and mission work since I was an eighth grader in middle school. Throughout college and even now working a full-time job at UMBC as their IT specialist in residential life. And I'm positive that I have been a part of mission work for longer than DC has been here at the church, so that's something. My family and I have always been heavily involved in some sort of mission work and mission trips since we've been attending Glenmar. My dad, Rob Boyle, is a part of mission board and has been for a while now. And as an active participant in mission work, I had never really thought about the behind-the-scenes work that goes on in planning a service experience or a mission trip. I'd always just signed up and went to do the work God needed my hands to do. When the Leadership Development Committee asked me to join Mission Board a couple years ago, I didn't really want to say yes. I just started a new job, didn't want to complicate my schedule. But a few weeks passed, and they asked again. They came back, and God kept asking me to be a part of this. And so eventually I said yes. As a full-time employee, it's hard for me to take off 4 weeks in the summer to go on all the mission trips, as I had done as a youth here at the church. So being a part of Mission Board helps me stay involved with mission work throughout the year, which is something that I feel God has called me to do, especially since graduating college. By being on Mission Board, I've been able to learn how it connects members of the church together to serve God. It identifies new mission experiences for the church. It helps develop leaders for those experiences. And it helps plan a budget for mission work throughout the year, among many other things. My involvement with it has not only solidified my passion for work, but it's also given the youth, or the Mission Board, a youthful perspective. I'm currently the youngest member on Mission Board, and I've lowered the average age by 10 or 20 years, I think. So it's helped our team understand some of the views of our younger disciples here at the church. At least I think so. Throughout my time on Mission Board, I've also been able to be witness to the ways in which Mission Board connects ideas and passions to actual mission opportunities. For example, this summer, I was in West Virginia, in Somersville, West Virginia, where flooding, major flooding, had impacted the town, and where we're going back in 3 weeks, as DC mentioned. We have been trying, our trusty lay leader, Bruce Luthold, has been trying to get stories from our mission experiences out to the wider church community. And while we were there, because I knew how to work social media and Facebook, I was tasked with sharing those stories out with the community on Facebook, with the church community on Facebook. And it helped us connect with the people back here at home and connect them with us and what we were doing, and helping everybody feel involved with what we're doing. Another example of putting ideas into action that is something going on right now, today, out in the gathering place, is collecting items for flood buckets for relief for the hurricanes. At our last mission board meeting, we came up with the idea that we could do this collection of items for flood buckets. How are we going to put that into action? Oh, we have Mission Ministry Weekend coming up in a couple weeks. Let's advertise there, collect buckets the next couple weeks after that, and then send them down to Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, and other places that were impacted by the recent hurricanes. So you can find that out in the gathering place today. And putting these ideas into action and connecting people to them has helped remind me that mission work has always been one of my God-given gifts. Being asked to be a part of the Mission Board was something I never planned, but God did. And my excitement and passion for mission work is what the Mission Board is hoping to inspire in all our members here at the church. We want to grow new ministries and develop new leaders for those mission opportunities that help move our goals for mission work forward. It's been a great experience working as a member of the Mission Board, and as the saying goes, you never want to see how the sausage is put together. And while Mission Board isn't as ugly as sausages are, we do have some tough meetings where we have to make hard decisions, but we also have really great meetings as well where we get to actually put ideas into motion and action. So I look forward to many more years of service and seeing many more young and old faces coming together to praise God, grow disciples, and serve the world. Thank you.
Well, I'm convinced, as we've all heard stories of transformation today, I'm convinced that true transformation comes, as Paul wrote to the Romans, through the transforming of our minds. I believe that we are transformed when our minds are renewed. And I believe that that transformation doesn't happen, our minds are not renewed, when we are with people and in places that we're familiar with. I believe that in order to be renewed, to experience that transformation, we have to go to places we're unfamiliar with and interact with people we're unfamiliar with. If you don't take anything else out of the service today, just walk out of here with this thought in mind. God calls us to be uncomfortable. We have to get out of our comfort zone to experience that renewal, to be transformed. New people, new places. Amen.